Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Kate Ariano, and I hope you all had a happy and safe Thanksgiving yesterday. Now, here is the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. Earlier this semester, the Connecticut Commitment, which covered tuition for in-state students with a household income of less than $50,000 a year, was suspended. And just days later, the Fight On Fund was announced to raise money for the UConn Athletics Department. WHUS correspondents Jonathan Kapeliewicz and Grace McFadden report that a petition on change.org directed at President Thomas Katzelaeus urges the university to rethink their decision and find the money to sustain the program and support students from low-income families for years to come. Doctoral student Manuel Ramirez said, "By halting the Connecticut Commitment Program, our university administration is choosing to suppress so many current and prospective students who dreamed of being part of our community." He argued that the university is sending a clear message to students of low-income families. They do not matter. According to the university, students who are benefiting from the program this year will continue to receive their aid, and Katzelaeus reaffirmed that supporting the university's neediest students will always remain a priority. Humans of UConn, a popular Instagram account and now official organization at UConn, is back from a brief pause in activity. WHUS correspondent Caroline LaCour sat down with team president Brendan Hogan to talk about the club's goals for the next semester. He said there will be some in-house maintenance and work to get the club more established at UConn, with focus on creating a solid team of club members that can connect with the community virtually. He said, "Humans of UConn provides that opportunity to reach out to individuals and interview them and just talk to them and see from their perspective what's going on in their life." The club is very similar to the Instagram account run by Brandon Stanton, Humans of New York, which seeks to do the same thing that Humans of UConn does, but on a grander scale. For more information, or if you'd like to become involved in the club, Hogan said to send an email to hofyukon@gmail.com. With finals rapidly approaching, the Office of Student Activities is making an effort to relieve some of students' stress with activities featured on their UKindness website. Daily Campus reporter Colin Pateo said students can participate in Meditation Mondays every week at 4 p.m., or virtual yoga classes. Director of Student Activities Joseph Briady said, "UKindness is designed to provide centralized, university-wide information and resources on everything from activities, events, and programs, virtual and in-person, to how to stay calm, stay active, and much more." Overall, Briady said that student activities have been successful over virtual platforms this semester, and he sympathizes with students who find themselves more stressed than usual this final season. He said, "I, like so many of our students and staff, have experienced stress and found myself anxious at different points throughout the semester." Briady recommends that students utilize resources from student activities as well as student health and wellness to combat the overload of stress this season. Department of Dining Services bakery manager Eric Merkel said that their Thanksgiving bake sale was held completely online this year. Daily Campus reporter Thomas Alvarez writes that the bake sale turnout was better than expected, most likely because people are becoming more comfortable with online shopping due to the pandemic. Merkel said, "Our house-made chocolate-dipped coconut macaroons, dinner rolls, and pies are some of our best sellers. We serve these items year-round in the dining halls, and they have a large following." He said a lot of the shoppers from this year's sale are returning customers that look forward to buying these pies every year. Customer feedback was positive, expressing excitement that the sale took place despite the pandemic. UConn students are encouraged to apply to the U21 Rise Project Showcase, an opportunity for 3 to 4 student-led projects from the university to share their ideas that address one or more of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. WHUS News correspondent Selena Daigle has the story.
U21, also referred to as Universitas 21, is a network of top-tier research institutions around the world. They provide many opportunities for students and professionals to collaborate on topics regarding research and community practices. In 2012, the University of Connecticut joined the organization, which consists of about 26 universities in 15 countries around the globe today. giving students new opportunities to share their knowledge globally. U21 Real Impact on Society and Environment, or RISE, is an international student competition and showcase that has risen in more recent years and is open for submissions from UConn students until February 19, 2021. U21 RISE serves to challenge individuals and groups to pitch ideas related to one or more of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Each student or group will need to create a video and post their pitch and projects online, allowing for a global audience of researchers and companies to view their ideas and give professional feedback. UConn has been invited to nominate 3 or 4 student-led projects this year. Unlike past years, 4 $2,000 prizes will be rewarded to the overall winners of the 26 universities. According to Zahra Ali, the Director of Global Partnerships and Outreach in the Global Affairs Office at UConn,
you get a little bit of seed funding for your project, but then you also get access to this network of professionals and faculty that can provide you with insight and advice on how to better your project. It helped the students take it to the next level.
Ali's office handles the agreements related to anything abroad-oriented, engaging in collaborations in research and student mobility, as well as entrepreneurial contracts. She is the lead officer of UConn's U21 program. UConn requires that a written application be provided alongside the video pitch, which will consist of each group's main goals, making a great first impression and attracting supporters. It can be recorded in any language but must have English subtitles and cannot be longer than 5 minutes in length. The video needs to be an original piece of work that has not been made public anywhere else and needs to express which SDG or SDGs the project addresses. All projects created by UConn students who are developing voluntary social enterprises or an environmental project that they want to get noticed and build up are more than welcome to be submitted. The project should be past the idea phase and be moving toward implementation, with business plans, market research, or other data to back up the efficacy of the idea. For more information, eligibility requirements, and examples of past U21 RISE projects, visit the Global Partnership website. From WHUS News, I'm Selena Daigle.
To wrap up this week's news, I've got a weather forecast for you folks in the Storrs and Mansfield area. Today will be partly sunny with a high near 56 and some calm wind coming in through the morning. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 39 and still a bit of wind. Tomorrow is mostly sunny, giving us a high near 50, but the wind will pick up with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night will be mostly clear with a low around 31 and with much less wind to round out the evening. Sunday will be sunny with a high near 48, and we'll finish out the weekend with a partly cloudy Sunday evening with lows in the mid-30s. And finally, we've got some sports updates to share with you all. The UConn Huskies men's basketball team took the court last night to win 102-75 against Central Connecticut State University. This was the first time the team scored 100 points in a game since the 2016 American Athletic Conference Tournament. Now hang tight, we will be right back with the rest of our show.
You're listening to WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut, 91.7 FM, radio for the people.
As we move into our discussion segment of the show, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Okay, today I am speaking with a lovely friend of mine, Maggie Cummins, who is a junior design tech major in the School of Fine Arts at UConn. She also has a concentration in stage management. Maggie, how are you doing today?
I am great, Kate. How are you? It's so lovely to talk to you.
I am doing swell. I haven't seen Maggie in a pretty long time because I've been home for the semester, and Maggie has been up at UConn. How has that been?
It's been pretty great. I just came home this past weekend, but being up at school for the semester was really nice. Mm-hmm. Gave me a chance to, you know, get back to sort of a learning environment that I knew and was happy in. And, you know, it's always good to be at school. You see people running around campus, even if we are in a pandemic and we're wearing masks. But, you know, it's great to be back in an environment where I feel like ready to learn and ready to, you know, ready to go.
Oh yeah, I totally miss that. It has been
much different sitting in my little office that my dad says is the size of a jail cell trying to learn. That is a little bit difficult. Where were you living on campus?
I was living in Northwood Apartments, which is like slightly off campus, but it's still UConn property. Mm-hmm. And I got to have my own kitchen this semester, which was a godsend. I love to bake and make my own food. So having a kitchen was just like, mwah, the icing on the cake.
I can only imagine. I'm so ready wherever I end up next year to be able to cook for myself, or even next semester coming up to UConn.
Absolutely.
So you said you just got home, your hometown of Wilton, Connecticut. What have you been up to since coming home from UConn? I mean, I know we're on break right now, but things are gonna wrap up at the end of the semester really, really quick.
I know. When I got home, I was just finishing up a run of It's a Wonderful Life, the radio play that CRT just produced. I was working on that as the stage manager. And
Connecticut Repertory Theater, for anybody who doesn't know.
That's correct. We just finished up our run, so I was doing some last minute things with that. And we're starting to get in the School of Fine Arts right up to the point where we get all of our finals projects. Ooh. So I'm like bracing myself for that, getting the rest of my other schoolwork done so I can like really sit down, start to plan what I need to do for projects and such. I have models to build and papers to write and all that fun stuff.
Yes.
Nice Chicago reference, Kate.
Gotta throw that in there for my stage management major.
I love it.
So can you talk to me about being a stage management concentration, like that's, you know, the proper terms for it, during a pandemic where so much of what you are supposed to be doing revolves around being in person, on the stage, or backstage, better yet, interacting with the actors and the cast and the scenery and just having a hand in everything, literally. What has it been like doing that virtually?
Well, it's been really interesting. Over the summer, I worked with the Alliance Theater in Georgia for a virtual drama camp when we were still sort of in the throes of the initial pandemic. So I got a lot of Zoom experience doing that. And then coming back to school and working with CRT, I had a lot of good Zoom experience in my pocket. And all of our productions this semester and next semester have been and will be online. So I was lucky enough that I came in with sort of a good footing in a little bit of the technology that we were using. Mm-hmm. The rehearsal room is so different in a virtual environment. You don't get the sort of level of camaraderie that you do on a normal production where you can just like talk to somebody who's standing right next to you. But thankfully our company was really, really up for the whole process. We were all doing a virtual production for the first time, and it was CRT's first radio play ever, It's a Wonderful Life. So it was a journey, and it was like very much baby steps, baby steps, baby steps until when we started recording the show. Mm-hmm. And then we were dealing with two different types of software because we recorded it on a software called Zencastr and we were using Zoom. So it was a kind of a flurry of muting people and breakout rooms and making sure mics were on and plugged in and this and that and the other thing. So it was a whole exercise in collaboration with our sound team, the rest of our stage management team, our actors, our director, our music director, everybody who was working on it really threw themselves in, which was a super awesome rehearsal sort of room atmosphere to have.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So what was that like, having a virtual rehearsal room and a virtual stage? Is that like, I can only imagine the chaos that you go through in person. I can't begin to fathom the muting and the coordinating all of that to make sure that no one is speaking out of turn.
It was kind of a lot at the very beginning, but eventually we got used to it. Every night, me, my other stage management team, and our director, Jennifer Scapettis-Tyser, who is absolutely wonderful, would sit down and make a really accurate schedule for the next day, which included like 5-minute breaks or 10-minute breaks and things we needed to get done. So having that schedule in front of me as well as the Zoom screen was super helpful because it made me like know, okay, so this person needs to be in this thing and that person needs to be doing the other thing and then recording it this time and then we have a break. So I would really utilize my breaks to get things, you know, organized and laid out. And then since I had my schedule, I can just be like, all right, I need to make sure I have a breakout room, like open and scheduled for these people at this time, and we'll be good to go. So it certainly took a little bit of getting your footing at the very beginning, but once we got into a routine of it where we were recording every day, it was sort of like, you go in, you record, you have this, that, and the other thing planned, and then you go home.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a common theme this semester of once you get into the routine of things, you do it, and then you're done. And maybe you don't go home. Maybe you're already home. But I know you've also been doing some writing over quarantine this summer as well as this semester for BroadwayWorld.com. I know you are an avid writer, and that's where a lot of your roots lie. So how has that been going?
That has been going really, really well. I love to write. I picked up an English minor a couple of semesters ago, which was a big boost toward my writing career. But ever since I was a kid, this ties into Christmas, actually, so fitting time of year. My mom would write this Christmas letter that would go out to everybody who got our Christmas cards. And the letter was always super satirical, totally making fun of things that my brother and I did as we were growing up. Mm-hmm. And as we got older, I started to be like, what is this thing that my mom does every year? So she showed me how to write her Christmas letter. So I picked up a lot of satirical writing tips from her. Mm-hmm. And then when I went into college, I was like, all right, might as well give this a try. And I saw the post on Broadway World looking for student bloggers one day, and I thought that'd be a great place to try and like exercise my satirical roots.
Yeah.
And it worked out really well, and I keep having to sort of dig through the barrel to find fun topics to write about without like, you know, going a little too off script.
But sometimes off script can be fun.
Yeah, sure. I've really enjoyed it, and the blogs themselves have been a really great sort of stress reliever when I'm working on homework, if I need to take a break but still want to be doing something productive. Write on a blog, why not?
What have been some of the topics that you've written about?
Great question. My most recent one, my most recent blog was, I wrote about comparing Thanksgiving tradition to theatrical tradition.
Okay. So, all right.
I know that sounds a bit like out of the box. What did I write about? I wrote about how like you have to leave a ghost light on stage at every performance, right? That's sort of a whole theatrical tradition that you do.
Sure.
And my brother and I, being home, also have a sort of ghost light tradition, but it's reversed in the sense that we leave the lights on all over the house, and my parents get so mad that they stay away from us for a day or two. So, it works. It works.
Gotcha. Do you have a favorite blog that you've written so far?
Oh, man. I wrote one about, it was called Crisis Management 101. Mm-hmm. It was all about handling the pandemic as well as handling a rehearsal room. And that was the blog that made my mom laugh the most. So I think I'm the most proud of that one.
Gotcha. Well, so I also want to, you know, dive into everything that you've done with the Connecticut Repertory Theater for the past 3 years now, right? Because you're a junior, you've been doing this since freshman year. So what have been some of your favorite memories, some of the things that you've learned, you know, throughout the past 3 years and especially throughout a pandemic?
Oh, man. It's so hard to choose favorites.
Because, I know. There's so many.
Yeah. I could talk about this for hours. Freshman year, I did my first ever Equity production. Equity is the sort of the big shot union in theater, and actors and stage managers get to be a part of Equity if they have. That's a whole, I won't go into the details of that, but I did my first Equity production freshman year, and I found out I would be working with one of the actresses I had seen in a national tour, mm-hmm. and I was like, whoa, this is real life. It was sort of the moment where I was like, okay, this is an actual profession that I'm going to be making a difference in, mm-hmm. and that was crazy. Last summer, I worked with CRT, and we did, what did we do? We did Cabaret and Mamma Mia. On Cabaret, I got to work with one of the biggest Broadway stars I like idolized as a child, Laura Michelle Kelly. I was her PA, mm-hmm. and that she gave us so many industry tips and advice for the business, which was so eye-opening. I got to work on Mamma Mia last summer. I love that movie. And I just had so much fun on that show. Mm-hmm. And it was a great moment where I realized there was a nice balance in theater with having fun and like being productive, doing actual work. Because then you get to create this amazing product for an audience, and you just feel so proud about what you've done. We also sang a lot of Does Your Mother Know that summer, and I love Christine Baranski so much. So I was having a great time. I just watched her new movie the other day. I was just like, Christine.
Well, yeah, speaking of Christine, she's got this new movie out with the one and only Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton!
Which you and I just had a viewing of. So let's talk about it. I loved this movie. It was the Hallmark musical, kind of cringy, but also amazing movie that needed to save 2020.
Half of the lines in this movie were rhyming lines, and I just, nobody speaks like that in real life, and I wish we did.
It all rhymed.
So much. It all rhymed. And Dolly Parton, I keep having this theory that Dolly Parton's going to float down on a cloud one day in the middle of Times Square and tell us she saved the world. I mean, she just donated $1 million to Moderna's coronavirus vaccine. Mm-hmm. The woman does not stop. I would like to be Dolly Parton when I grow up. Thank you so much.
I don't know what would happen to this world if we didn't have Dolly Parton. Like, she is just an absolute powerhouse in everything that she does, including this movie. She plays an angel. And, you know, I don't want to spoil too much for anybody who's interested in watching it. What's the title of the movie called?
It's called Christmas on the Square, I think.
I believe, yeah, I think you're right. And it's got so much Dolly, so much singing, just, you know, her iconic voice. And
it really puts you in a good Christmas spirit, I think.
It does. It might actually be up there now as one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Wow, that's high praise.
That's a big deal. What are some of your favorite Christmas movies? Let's hear it.
Oh my, okay. So I have this little personal rule that I can't watch the movie Elf until December 1st, because if I do, I will be quoting the movie Elf throughout the entirety of the year.
And oh, you're one of those.
I can quote Elf word for word. That's gotta be my favorite. Mm-hmm. I also love the claymation Christmas movies. I mean, you can't get enough of Rudolph. And I also love, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the title. What's the movie with Snow Miser and Heat Miser?
Oh,
A Year Without a Santa Claus?
Yes.
Yes, I love A Year Without a Santa Claus just because that song is a bop.
Those two guys, we had these electric snowmen in my house that we would put by the fireplace every year. And one was red and one was blue and one sang Snow Miser song and one sang Heat Miser song. And so those songs are the tune of my childhood. I gotta find them. I know I still have Heat Miser. I think Snow Miser might have taken a turn for the worst a couple years ago.
Oh no.
But no, I totally feel you there, especially with what was the claymation ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know what about it. Those movies just hit different.
They do. Oh man, I'm so excited to decorate for Christmas this year. I was worried that I was gonna come home and not and like have to be in quarantine when Black Friday rolls around. And usually we decorate on Black Friday in my house. So thankfully I'm gonna be out of quarantine by then because tested negative for COVID.
Oh yeah, we love that. Yeah, we jumped the gun a little bit early this year. We have had our Christmas decorations up since Saturday today.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm not ashamed. I'm really not ashamed at all.
I think that's fabulous.
We wait to get our Christmas tree. We wait till a little bit early or a little bit later, especially because it's just a common theme in my house. The Christmas tree always dies before Christmas. What are those called? The spikes, the pines, whatever they're called.
The needles?
The needles, thank you.
Yep.
The needles always fall off in heaps, like the week before Christmas. So by the time we've got everybody coming over, which probably won't happen this year, so we don't have to worry about how our tree looks.
That's good.
By the time people come over, more needles are on the floor than they are on the tree.
Oh, no. So you have a real tree?
Oh, yeah. We do the real tree.
Oh, my goodness. We have a fake tree that we always put up and put our ornaments on. Mm-hmm. And then because I did work on a farm, we always go and get a tree from them, like a little tree, and then put that in our living room. And we put only snowflake ornaments on that one. Little classy touch on that Christmas tree.
I like having a classy touch. My mom wants to do white lights on the tree this year for a classy touch. I don't know about it. I'm still debating. My sister is not sold, so I don't think it's gonna happen.
I'm a big proponent of the rainbow lights on the tree.
Oh yes.
But the reason I can see why your mom feels that way is one year we did white lights on our tree and then rainbow lights outside on our porch.
Ooh.
And that was a really nice touch because then from the street it's like, oh, so festive. And you go inside, it's like, oh, classy and festive. Not to say rainbow lights aren't classy, but like there's a certain vibe to the rainbow lights.
No, the lights definitely do set the Christmas vibe, whichever one you're going for. Well, I love it. Maggie, it has been wonderful talking to you today. And if I don't talk to you soon, I hope you have a wonderful holiday and stay safe and say hi to your family for me.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kate. It was such a pleasure, and you do the same.
Absolutely. All right, bye, Mags.
Bye.
I'd like to thank Maggie once again for chatting with me this week. If you're interested in reading any of Maggie's blogs, you can look her up at BroadwayWorld.com. Now, I've got a Christmas tree to go buy, so thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. Thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music and musician Claudex for those background tunes. And thank you, listeners. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a wonderful weekend.